You are listening to the Hope Community Church podcast. This audio is from our Ash Wednesday service where we sang, prayed, and prepared ourselves for the Lent season. Lent is a season of repentance and renewal where we focus on the cross of Jesus and give special emphasis on the acts of generosity, prayer, and fasting. On this Ash Wednesday evening, we marked ourselves with ashes on our foreheads, symbolizing our repentance, our turning from sin, and turning towards Jesus. We pray that as you listen to this podcast, you are encouraged and expectant for all that God will accomplish throughout this Lent season. Thank you for joining us.
Would you look at Mark chapter 1, verse 15, and let me read this to you. We've been handling this through our Lent prep, and this is the first sermon that Jesus ever preached, is right here. It says, "The time is fulfilled. And the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Let's pray together. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, if you prompted me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. You look at all of us today, Lord, in this room, but you see me differently. I'm your teacher and I'm your preacher. On me is a greater and a more strict judgment than anybody in this place. And I know that. And I accept my place in rightly dividing his word, your word. It's in the name of Jesus I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you. Thanks for being here tonight. I have made a little bit of a promise to keep this brief, but you've heard that before, right? A time or two. But preacher's not feeling well. I'm pretty much under the weather. So hang on if I have a cough or 10 or 12 during this sermon. And it was really too late. Things came on me pretty quick to even adjust it to some of our other staff. But I also wanted to be here tonight and to be with you. We look at Mark 1:15, and tonight our invitation is going to be a marking. We have four stations here, and we have the palm branches from last Easter, and we save them, and it's tradition that you do that, and we burn them. They've been burnt and mixed with anointing oil, and it's representation of our sins being gone. We enter this season of Lent. And it's the Christian version of Lent, and there is a difference between other versions. And we do this to focus on renewal and repentance and all that is preached in this little short sermon by our Lord today. So we've been singing about the Lamb, and singing about the Lamb this whole Lent season. We're going to be looking to his sacrifice, because everything he has done for us comes through the work of Christ. It doesn't come through you. It all comes through him. It's because of what he has done for us. So it says here, and we're going to just follow the verse right on down in sequence, that the kingdom of God is here. He's really meaning himself. And you know, the kingdom of God is near. We've been saying for a long time, the kingdom of God is now and forever. It's present and eternal. But where is the kingdom of God? Is it geographical? It is not geographical. It's in your heart. He rules your heart. In the New Testament, Paul said, "Let the peace of Christ and the word of God rule your heart." And it becomes imperative that we understand that. Please don't forget that God doesn't look at the outward appearance of man. He only looks on the heart to see that we are loyal to him. So the rule of God is here. And of all the places he wants to be, this is where he wants to be. He's looking for that loyal heart. So if we're going to live a kingdom life and take this verse in sequence, then there are two steps that are given here, which we'll enumerate those in a moment. But we have to live out these two things that he has said to us. But the kingdom is here for me and you to experience. Remember, in the Lord's Prayer, we pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." It is meant for us not to acknowledge it. It's meant for us to be able to experience. So step one in leaving the king and living the kingdom is, it says to repent. It is a picture of doing a 180. It's actually a military term. And it is, you're walking in one direction and you do a 180 and you start walking in the other direction. The word that is used there is means there's a change of heart, that the rule of God in your heart has changed your heart. It's changed your mind. It means both mind and heart. And so with that comes a change of direction. But what are we turning from? If we're making a 180, what's it from? Those are questions I have to ask when I study scripture. Well, first of all, it's we turn from sin. And gosh, it's easy to sin, you know? I mean, scripture says that a long time ago. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It said, therefore, since we also have a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that easily ensnares us. I mean, it's right there waiting on us. I mean, it's entrapment. It's an ambush that we have to realize that sin is there. And then we run this race with endurance that is before us. So sin happens pretty easily, and you have to be able to pay attention to that. I grew up as a country boy. I'm an educated country boy, but I'm still a country boy. And I had a farmer one time tell me that he knew exactly when it was going to rain. And I was like, yeah, right. Without looking at the weather, like looking at television. And I said, well, what's the trick? And he showed me in the clouds, in the sky, there are times you see a plane that leaves a trail behind, and there are times you see a plane that doesn't. And I know there's all kinds of conspiracy theories about that. But he said, when I see a trail that's left by a plane and it hangs in the air, he said, it'll rain in 48 hours. I want you to know I've tested that most of my life. You know, now I don't know when it first started hanging in the air, but I know it's not long that it's going to rain. He said, that's how I put in my hay. That's how I put the hay, get ready in the summertime, is I pay attention to that and I know that soon it's going to rain. He said, I don't need to see a weather forecast. I just need to know what is going on. You and I are able, we will live our life and we're able to recognize and see sin and see the trap of that. And it's there, it's easy to happen. But what do we turn from? We turn from that. We're able to see it. We're able to recognize it. We're able to know that it's a trap. We're able to know that it's an ambush. And we just really walk away from it. We do a 180. We turn, we repent, and we do a 180. What else do we turn from in this repentance? We turn from the world. James 4:4. You all know I love the book of James. James is pretty bold. Plus, it's a short book, you know. You can read the whole book and feel good about reading the book of the Bible because it's only a few chapters. He said, don't you know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? So whoever wants to be the world's friend becomes God's enemy. And there is a direction and a seduction that the world wants me to be a part of. And I have to be alert to that, be alarmed to that. Paul writes all the time, be sober, be cautious, what's going on, be alert, be awake, what's going on. And because if I go the world's way, then it's moving away from the Lord. Then I've got to do a 180 and head the direction to Him. I've got to draw near to Him. And it really becomes the question, what does the kingdom of God ask of me to do? What does it happen? Monday, I had a typical Monday, but I knew the Lord gave me an assignment Monday that I really hadn't planned on, but I knew He gave it to me. I knew that of all of the planning that I had to do this week, I knew that what He had set in front of me was a kingdom move for me to do. And I did it. I dropped my schedule. I dropped everything that I had lined up for the week, especially that day, and I moved with it. So you got to learn to be able to recognize what's the direction of the world and what is the direction of the kingdom. What's the kingdom response? Because there's always a kingdom response. We just naturally go with the flow of the world if we're not careful. And we've got to be alert to that. And then we've got to realize what's the kingdom response here. The word repent is written in a way, if you're interested in grammar. If you're not, maybe this will help. But it's continuous action. Repentance is not a moment that I had when I was a little boy. Repentance is something that occurs over and over and over again. Actually, it's written. Mark wrote it with continuous action. Not a one moment. Not a one moment deal, but it's a continuous. Was there a one moment deal? Sure. Absolutely. But then there comes a realization that, hey, you know, that sin ambushed me, you know, today. And so, Lord, forgive me. Just name it. We got to quit building this stuff up and throwing it in the closet like we do our clothes and our junk when the guests come over, you know. We've got to be able to clean that out. And so repentance is a continual action. It's regular. It's regular, not just one little moment in time. Step two, that step one in the kingdom life is repent. Step two is to believe. Go back to Mark 1:15, if you will, Vanessa. It is to believe that we repent and we believe. Now, I've taught you the Greek word that is believe or faith here for a long time. It's the Greek word pisteo. But what it really means is I'm all in. I'm not halfway in. I didn't keep half the farm. I gave him all the farm, you know. And it was a surrender of all of my life. Both present and future, past, it's all of it. I'm all in to him. And it is a faith and a trust that I have in him, a faith and a trust. We say this here often. We have faith that God can, and we trust him that he will. We have faith that God can, and we trust him that he will. And what this belief has here is a confidence that we have in the Lord. A strong confidence. It's not weak, it's strong. Like Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Here's a great confidence right here. I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It's confidence. What he began in us, he will see it completely through. There's another verse I want to give you that has to do with confidence, and it's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. And this is a song that I grew up with as a little boy, a hymn that I grew up with in the church. And that is why I suffer these things, meaning he preaches the gospel and he suffers things. But I am not ashamed, because I know the one I have believed in. See the confidence? I know the one I have believed in. And I'm persuaded that he is able to guard what has been entrusted to me until that day. Where's my confidence? It's in him. My confidence, this belief that we're talking about, is that I have confidence that he is going to carry every bit of it through. I'm persuaded. I'm not ashamed of that. Again, Mark wrote this same way he wrote the word repent. He wrote believe in continuous action. It's not that I believed him a long time ago. I believe him today. You know, and Amy, I'm going to throw you under the bus here a little bit without permission. But Amy's the boss of our church outside of Jesus, you know. So we missed the day and we missed the Sunday because of the storms. Well, there's a business side that we go through in our head sometimes. So if we miss a day, we miss an offering, right? And the ice really blessed our gutter system around here. It was destroying gutters and moving them off as the ice moved off. And we've got repair work to do there. So usually a conversation Amy and I have on Mondays is, how was the offering? And I just want you to know that I've taught you to invite the Lord into those anxious places of your life. You know, and you ask me, was that an anxious place in my life? It was. Because he's the shepherd, I'm just an under shepherd. And I invited him into that. So Amy sent me what we had as an offering Sunday and the last few Sundays. And I want you to know your giving has more than made up for that day that we miss. I mean, more than made up for it. I mean, hallelujah. You know, listen, he really does want you to invite him into these situations. Those places that are burdens to you, the places where you worry, the places where you doubt, in places where you're going, well, God, you can't handle this one, so I'm going to take it on myself. What a way to think. You know, where's my confidence? My confidence is in him. You know, I'm not feeling well, and I've got a built-in nurse, and she's a pretty nurse, too, okay? I want you to know. And I have a built-in nurse, and she's taking care of me. Michelle, I call her our other doctor. She's like my sister. She came, checked on me. They're listening to my lungs and all that. And then I'm going, well, what am I going to do? And I just felt the Lord tell me there's a doctor that comes to our church. And I just gave him a call, you know. And I'm like, hallelujah, you know. Hallelujah. You just start inviting him into these places. God doesn't want you to carry all that. He wants you to cast all that. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares on him. Why? Because he cares for you in the smallest of details. He cares about you in your life. And he wants you to live with a confidence that you believe in him. That I'm not ashamed because I know the one I believed. I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that and to guard that. That has been entrusted to me until that day. I want you to be able to see that. More importantly, I want you to feel it. During Lent, as we begin it today, we fix our eyes on him. Hebrews 12:2, keeping your eyes on Jesus, the source, the perfecter, the completer of our faith, who for the joy that lay before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down in a place of authority, which is the right hand of God. You do understand that when you go to the Father, you're going to the most powerful and the most resourceful God on the planet, okay? There's nobody more powerful or resourceful than he is. And when you go there, that's exactly who you're going to. So again, it's continuous action. Just like repent. Not that I believe for one moment, but I continue to believe. And I have confidence in who he is. So the kingdom has two steps to it. Repent and believe. And it's all captured in his gospel. The gospel is you and I were lost and he found us. You and I were on the miry clay. In the miry clay, and he set us on the solid rock, and he rescued us. You and I were an enemy of God. Listen, I've got the cutest grandson that God has ever made. Yeah, I figured there'd be a debate about that. But our little John is bought. He's born in a rebellion. I mean, I can't change his heart. His mom and dad can't change his heart. He's born in it, and he's the cutest thing. He laughs at everything. You know, I'm teaching him turkey calls. I've been telling you that, you know. Kiki runs and yelps, cackling, owl hooting. That's when everybody in the volleyball gym gets, they laugh at that one when I do the owl hoots. But the picture of it is, I've got to realize that. We're all born into the sin and the rebellion, and we're enemies of God. And what did he do with us? He adopted his enemies, me and you, as his sons and his daughters. Man, I mean, he moved us in the house. Moved us in the house. And we were his enemies. That's how much he loves us. So he adopted me. It's called the spirit of adoption in the book of Romans. So is there an actual happening where you first repent, you first believe, you first surrender? Absolutely. But then it becomes a continuous action over and over. Let's look at Scripture, Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, of how this is all put together. Paul wrote, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed in him, and as you first believed in him, you were also sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. I didn't get my Holy Spirit gifts when I was born. I got the Holy Spirit gifts when I was born again. Okay? And the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. And he seals us. Think of a Ziploc bag. He seals us with the Holy Spirit. And look what it says in verse 14 about. And the Holy Spirit is a down payment of inheritance of what is to come. That one move right there is glorious to me, but that's a drop in the bucket to everything else. He is the down payment of our inheritance for the redemption of the possession to the praise of his glory. Is there a time when you and I first surrendered, when you and I first repented, when you and I first believed? Absolutely. But then it becomes a continuous action. I'm constantly laying down my life because he laid down his life. And everything we handle during this season, this Ash Wednesday until Easter, is all about a remembrance of all that he has done for me. We've been singing about the Lamb and his sacrifice, and we remember it. Remember from Sunday, we are practicing Matthew 6. And that's a sermon, that's another sermon of the Lord. And he mentioned it, it's important to him, or he wouldn't have put it in a sermon. And thanks to him, he started talking about generosity first instead of last. We practice three things during Lent. We practice generosity. Just bless people. And don't worry about the outcome. Let the balance be in the hands of our Lord. Just bless them. When he calls you, he mentions you to bless somebody, just be obedient. Do the kingdom and watch what happens in there. And then we have prayer and devotion. There's tons of devotions for you to get, tons of apps for you to download. If you need help with that, I'll be happy to do that. And then it's fasting, something of luxury, something of convenience, something that makes an adjustment in my life. Because within it barely compares to the sacrifice and the suffering that he did for us. So we remember what he has done. And we remember our surrender. We repent and believe. And we fix our eyes on him and we do the kingdom things. And tonight we're asking you to begin a journey of repentance. Here's the way I learned it from me. And I share it with you. And I shared it Sunday. I'm leaving the rhythm of the world. It's so easy to get into it. I'm leaving the rhythm of the world and I'm stepping into the rhythm of my Lord and his kingdom. This Lent season is a time of renewal and it's a time to reset. No major prayers over you tonight. I'm not going to be marking because with my sickness, I'll be giving you more than a blessing, I believe. And I don't want you to have that. But here at our stations, we're going to mark you to begin your journey. And here's what we're going to say over you. The two steps of the kingdom. Repent and believe the gospel. So I want you to take your time. Jimmy's going to be playing music from the loft. The band's not going to be playing. For those of you who are at the stations, go ahead and go to your stations if you'll do that. Tyra, the Logans, Cecil, if you'll do that. And you take your time. It can be a time of reflection there. We'll handle this in as much due process as we can. But we want you marked and we want you blessed and we want you on that journey of renewal, okay? Let me pray over you. Father, I pray over our people today. Blessings. A little extra effort to come here tonight. But Lord, it's the time that we surrender to this walk and this journey over the next few weeks. And it's the time to just cast our vision on what you have done. We fix our eyes on you. We set our hearts and our minds on things that are above and all that you have done. Thank you for being our Savior. Thank you for being our Hosanna, the one who rescues. Thank you for being our Redeemer, the one who bought us back. Thank you for being the one who was, is, and always will be, the beginning and the end, the author and the finisher of our faith. And Lord, we repent of our sins, and we believe in you, and our confidence is in you, and our faith and trust is in you. And we know these next few days and weeks, you're going to walk with us, and to you be the glory. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray, and that we pray together. Amen. Take your time. Come be marked. Be blessed.